Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. This time, David James and I will be at the broadcast table, and our discussion will be on the issue on the Roman Catholic sex abuse scandal in Pennsylvania. We'll have some details, but not all. Our ears do not need to hear them. We'll also talk about the link between homosexuality and pedophilia. And we'll ask the question, does the Catholic Church have a program in order to stop this type of immoral activity? And of course, we'll go to the Word of God to see what it has to say about this sex scandal. David James comes to the microphone in a moment, right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. I want to remind you about my website, prophecytoday.com. We have a number of items that will be available for you if you're a student of Bible prophecy. It'll be good to visit our bookstore. That's at prophecytoday.com. Go to the Prophecy Bookstore, and you'll be able to find a number of study materials, plus many other helps in your understanding of looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. Again, that web address, prophecytoday.com. We now bring to these microphones David James for our weekly conversation. We come to the broadcast table and bring an issue to discuss together that may be of key importance for those of you who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and your daily walk with Him. David, for the past week, a couple of weeks actually, every news outlet that I've been watching has been reporting on a massive grand jury report concerning widespread sexual abuse of children at the hands of Roman Catholic priests.
Yes, and it's something that I've been following closely as well. As you said, it's been in virtually every news outlet. I just happened to land on CNN, which is not necessarily an outlet that I follow closely, but they have a good expose of this and a good initial report. And the title of their report on the internet was "Report Details Sexual Abuse by More Than 300 Priests in Pennsylvania's Catholic Church." And as you said, it's out of a new grand jury report that says the internal documents from six Catholic dioceses in Pennsylvania show that more than 300 predator priests, in quotes, have been credibly accused of sexually abusing more than 1,000 child victims. The report goes on to say, this is a quote from the report, "We believe that the real number of children whose records were lost or who were afraid ever to come forward is in the thousands." And then it goes on to say, "Priests were raping little boys and girls, and the men of God who were responsible for them not only did nothing, they hid it all." And they go on to list the various types of priests and their responsibilities. It includes monsignors, auxiliary bishops, bishops, archbishops, and cardinals, and that the grand jury concluded that the church's methods were actually a playbook for concealing the truth. So one of the most important things to recognize is that these come from internal documents, which means that for the past 70 years, which is the time frame for this, these are six Catholic dioceses that have actually documented all of this, and it's all on file. So it's a massive cover up, and again, this is only six of eight dioceses in Pennsylvania, and this is just one state in the union, and it only captures a fraction, probably, of those who were actually affected.
David, before we get into the main part of our discussion today, it might be helpful for you and for our listeners to understand why you follow what happens in the Catholic Church so closely.
My wife grew up Catholic. We met in college, and when we were both saved in 1984, because much of her family and so many of our friends, and even my first manager, supervisor, the place where I worked when I got out of college, they were all Catholic, I had an immediate interest. And we had only been saved 2 or 3 months, and we both went to a Catholic bookstore in Indianapolis, and I bought my first Catholic catechisms and theology books and started studying this. So this was 34 years ago, and I've been intensely studying it ever since, almost exclusively from Catholic sources, and have been teaching this for 30 years in depth. And I teach it several times a year around the world. We were initially planning on going to Poland as missionaries, which is the most Catholic country in the world, and we ended up in Hungary, which is also a Catholic majority. So it's something that's really been on my heart from the very beginning.
And close to the experiences that you've had serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, and you know, when you stop to think about it, if you read some of the more detailed reports that you can get, then a sense of just how bad the situation is. Of course, we want to be careful about how we discuss this on air. But David, if you will, give us a sense of some of what actually has happened.
That's true. I'm not going to get nearly as graphic as even some of the reports that are widely available on the internet, but just to give our listeners a sense, as you said, some of the victims were plied with alcohol, groped and molested. Others were raped in various ways. They were brushed aside, and they became unknown victims, and certainly they were under the abusive authority of men in positions of leadership. In one diocese, a priest impregnated a 17-year-old girl, forged a pastor's signature on a marriage certificate, and divorced the girl months later. This was known, and he was allowed to hide. There was a priest who abused 5 sisters from the same family. In another situation, a priest raped a 7-year-old girl who was in the hospital after her tonsils were removed. And this just goes on and on and on.
You know, although many may try to deny a link between homosexuality and pedophilia, it's impossible to deny that there is a high number of homosexuals in the Catholic priesthood, and a very high number of incidents of abuse of children by these priests.
I agree, and I think it's very difficult to actually deny the linkage. In my research, I went to an article by Slate Magazine, which is actually a left-leaning and politics and arts magazine, but it's also known for its accurate reporting, at least when they quote sources and deal with sources. And I found some really disturbing things in this particular article. They say in the last half century, there's been an increased quote-unquote gaying of the priesthood in the West. Throughout the 1970s, several hundred men left the priesthood each year, many of them for marriage. And so as straight priests left the church, the proportion of priests who were gay grew. And in fact, the Los Angeles Times found that 28% of priests from the ages of 46 to 55 reported that they were gay. And in another report, this is a broad range, but they estimate that as many as 50% of U.S. priests are gay. And this is in stark contrast to the only 3.8% of people in the general population who identify as LGBT. So this is significant. And I don't think it's by accident that we're seeing all of this take place. And I would say one reason is that homosexuality is an immoral lifestyle. It's a worldview and it's a lifestyle. And so there's nothing to prevent you, if that is your lifestyle and worldview, from moving to children as opposed to those who are in your age range when it comes to gratification like this. So there's really, once you knock down the biblical barrier for homosexuality and immoral lifestyles, there's really anything goes. And I think that we're seeing that there really is a connection because of this lack of moral barriers.
David, how has the Catholic Church responded to all of this? And are there any plans about how to prevent this going forward?
There's part of the statement that did come out of the Vatican, even though the Pope was not quoted in that. The Vatican said the Church must learn hard lessons from its past, and there should be accountability for both abusers and those who permitted abuse to occur. The Washington Examiner, I think the next day, reported that Pope Francis broke his silence and said that they had abandoned the children. So there may be some structures being put in place, but this is so pervasive. Put these reporting structures in place. Do not hide it. But on the other hand, I think a practical thing would be to remove the matter of celibacy as a requirement for the priesthood. And in fact, in some places where there is a lack of priests, that has been considered, and they're allowing men who have been married to become priests. And in fact, there are those who have converted from Anglicanism to the Catholic Church who are married and who have been allowed to be priests for quite some time.
Could you share just a moment a brief history of celibacy in the Catholic Church itself?
Sure. Well, the concept of celibacy, it comes from a Latin word, and a lot of people think it means abstinence from sex. That's not what it actually means originally. It means someone who is a bachelor or a single man. And of course, if you're going to follow biblical guidelines, if you are a bachelor and are not married, then you would not be having sex. So that has come to be the way that we've understood it. But it actually goes back to the 4th century. The Council of Elvira recommended that those priests who were married should not have sexual relations with their wives and not have children. So in the first centuries of the church, almost for a millennium, many of the priests were married. And then it wasn't really until the Second Lateran Council in 1139 when priests were forbid to marry, and this was affirmed by the Council of Trent. But many people don't realize this. This is not a dogma of the church. This is a regulation. A dogma, by definition, cannot be changed, but regulations can be changed at any time. For example, in the 60s, the eating meat on Fridays, that ban was lifted because it was not a dogma. It was a regulation. The Pope and the church could change this at any time, and I would say it would probably be a very wise move.
Well, let's go to our bottom line all the time, and that's the Word of God. Now, as I've studied it, it seems true that we don't find celibacy as a requirement in the New Testament. And we do find, however, a clear statement, many clear statements, about homosexual behavior.
That's exactly right. Romans chapter 1 makes it clear that homosexual behavior is actually the bottom of what I term the death spiral of humanity. It's a characteristic of what happens when society is plumbing the depths of sin just prior to God's judgment. In 1 Corinthians 6, we read that among other lifestyles, homosexuals will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. On the flip side, concerning celibacy, we find that Peter was married. We don't really know that much about others. We know that Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 says that it's a choice and it's not a gift that everyone has. And then when it comes to 1 Timothy 4, I'm not sure if this is an exact correlation, but I think it's something that needs to be considered. 1 Timothy, one of the main themes is doctrine in the church, right doctrine versus false teaching. In 1 Timothy 4 says one of the characteristics of the last days will be forbidding to marry. So I think there are some connections, and I think we always need to keep this in mind, and I think the Catholic Church needs to consider moving back to a biblical stand on this.
Well, this entire situation has been the main focus of many of the media news reporting organizations. And David and I thought about it for several weeks. We thought we may bring this to our broadcast table a couple of weeks back. We just delayed it, but we felt like we had to deal with it for the body of Christ to understand what the Bible has to say about the situation. David, great research. I think it was a topic we needed to discuss, as we always do when we come to this broadcast table. And we'll do that next week again. Thank you so much, David.
Great, Jimmy. Thanks for the opportunity to be with you again.
Very important report today from David James, who gave us a shocking report on the scandal in the Catholic Church with a focus on the large number of homosexuals in the priesthood of this worldwide Catholic Church. God's Word speaks to the issue of sodomy, homosexuality. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1 that the choice anyone makes to become a homosexual is a lifestyle, and it is contradictory to God's word. In fact, he will turn his back on homosexuals. He will refer to them as reprobates. These events and acts of immorality will lead into the false church as revealed in Revelation chapter 17. God's prophetic word will be fulfilled. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.